Let us pray. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. We give you all the glory. We give you honor. Jesus, we give you of days, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Almighty God, the Holy One of Israel, the unchangeable changer. Glory be to your holy name. Thank you for the days of small beginnings. Thank you for greater future. Thank you for your son. Thank you for his wife. Thank you for his family. Thank you for this commission. Thank you for the past 40 years. Thank you for a new beginning. Father, accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Today, Lord, like you have never done before, in the lives of all your children here and those who are listening all over the world, Father, do a new thing. Do something unforgettable. Do something only you can do. Let every one of us go home with a new testimony. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Well, let someone shout hallelujah. Well, if you are the happiest person here today, shout the biggest hallelujah. How about waving at one or two people and say, God bless you mightily. And then you may please be seated. God bless you. Well, it is difficult to describe my joy. The Bible talks about categories of joy. Joy, great joy, very great joy, exceedingly great joy. And then he talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's my joy this morning. And I pray that God, the God I serve, will give you that kind of joy. Because I remember the beginning. I think I've told you before, I remember those days when the bishop would come from Kaduna in one old Volkswagen car. And I have to pray that the car at least will take him back to Kaduna safely. And then I remember those days when he got his first jet, and some people were criticizing me for going to bless it. And then I heard that while he was in the air, the jet gave trouble. Well, what do you expect from a jet that cost less than $500,000? I remember those days of small beginnings. But my daddy spoke to me early this morning and said that what we are seeing now is still the day of small beginnings. So, my beloved son, congratulations. Thank God for what he has done. But we are just about to begin. Those of you who believe that, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Exodus chapter 4. I will read from verse 1 to 7. And then verse 20. Exodus 4, 1 to 7, and then verse 20. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord has not appeared unto thee.' And the Lord said unto him, 'What is that in thy hand?' And he said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail.' And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, 'Put now thy hand into thy bosom.' And he put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thy hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was torn again as his other flesh." Verse 20. "And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand." When you go through the scriptures, you will find that the number 40 is always associated with a new beginning. We don't have time to go through it one by one, but you might check very quickly and discover, for example, that Noah had been in the ark for 40 days before he opened the window. And of course, you know that our Lord Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights at the beginning of his ministry. And so on and so forth. But it will interest you to know that Moses had been on or around Mount Horeb for 40 years before, as you know very well, in Exodus chapter 3, if you read it from verse 1 to the end, before all of a sudden the bush began to burn. And when the bush began to burn, Moses heard God call his name for the first time. And then they had a lot of discussions. Please make sure you read Exodus chapter 3 at home. But the section that we want to look at is the one I've read to you. That is Exodus chapter 4. This was not the sermon I originally prepared, but this is the one God Himself gave me. And because He gave me this, and I'm sure you know that you don't say God said when He hasn't spoken, unless you want to die. When He gave me this particular passage and said I was to talk on it, I knew immediately that apart from the bishop, apart from his wife, apart from his children, there is somebody here today who is going to get an anniversary gift. You see, because after Moses and the Almighty God have been discussing for a while, God was telling him, all right, you have been a fugitive for 40 years. Now we are going to start a brand new life. And they were arguing. Then God finally said, Moses, what's in your hand? And he said, a rod. And God said, throw it down. And he threw it down, and it became a serpent. And the Bible said, Moses fled from it. That brings me to the point number one. You know, there are miracles and there are miracles. Acts chapter 19, from verse 11 to 12, Acts 19, 11 to 12, tells us that God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul. And that should tell you that not all miracles are special. But there are miracles, there are special miracles. But in this particular case, the miracle that happened, that Moses saw, frightened him. So there are miracles that are frightening. The Bible made it clear in Psalm 67 from verse 5 to 7. Psalm 67 from verse 5 to 7. It says if we will praise God, our God will bless us, and the old earth will fear Him. There are blessings, miracles, that when you see it, it frightens. And I'll give you an example very quickly. Several years ago, we had a program at National Stadium in Surulere, and the place was jam-packed with people. People were sitting everywhere. And there was a man sitting at the very, very top of the gallery, and he had a big goiter around his neck. Now, if you have that kind of problem, that's what people will see even before they see your face. So there was a lady sitting next to him and was trying not to look. Then as we were ministering, God spoke and said, hey, there is someone here. There's a big growth around your neck. Check, the growth is gone. And so the fellow sitting next turned because she knew this is the one. And when she looked, the growth has disappeared. She was so frightened that after the program, she trekked from Surulere to Pangrove before she remembered that her car was parked at the stadium. May I prophesy to someone that before this day is over, you will see a fearful miracle. And then The Lord said to Moses, don't run, take the serpent by the tail. And as he took the serpent by the tail, immediately the serpent changed back to a rod. You know, it is one thing to see a miracle. It's another thing to touch a miracle. It's another thing for a miracle to happen in your hand. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 1 to 7, you know the story of that widow of one of the sons of the prophets who was greatly in debt and ran to the man of God. And the man of God told her, when you get home, borrow a lot of vessels and then begin to pour that little bottle of oil into the vessels. As she poured, the oil multiplied. Right in her hand, miracles began to happen. You know, in Psalm 1, if you read it from verse 1 to 3, Psalm 1 from verse 1 to 3, the Bible tells us that one of the blessings you will get if you will concentrate on God and meditate on His word day and night is that whatsoever you touch will prosper. And that's my second prophecy to somebody today. From now on, whatever you touch will prosper. And I give a little illustration very quickly. We held a program in Akure several years ago. We finished and we were on our way. And this man blocked my way and says, "You're not going anywhere. What's the problem?" He said he was a businessman. He was into sawmill business. But then for one reason or the other, all the machines packed up. And every attempt to repair the machines failed. Things got so bad that his friends, when they saw him coming, began to run. Why? Because he had owed them so much. Now they don't want him, they are not bothering him to pay. They don't want him to borrow more. So that's why they were running. Things got so bad that the wife went mental. And because there was no money to take her to any hospital, he went and dumped the wife with a herbalist. So he said, "Unless that my problem is solved, you're not going anywhere." So I said, and I just felt God say, "Ask him to serve 40 signs." And he did. And I laid my hands on his sign. And I said, "From now, whatever you touch will prosper." So I said, "Amen." Now he got home, laid his hand on the machine, started them, and they began to work. And he said, "This thing is working." He ran to where the wife was with the herbalist, laid the hands on her, and the woman jerked and said, "What am I doing here?" Within a year, he bought himself a brand new car. Now, if you don't mind, could you just stand for some 30 seconds and lift your hands to the Almighty? And I decree right now, every hand lifted now, beginning from this moment, whatever you touch shall prosper. Amen. Please be seated. Please be seated. My time is short. Now, then, God said to Moses, "Let's go a step further. Put your hand into your bosom He did. Pull it out. Oh, it has become leprous. God said, hold on, just put it back again. He did, and it became normal. I believe God was saying to Moses, and maybe to someone here too, and see, it is one thing to see a miracle. It's another thing to touch a miracle. Because after all, the fellow next to you can be the miracle. You touch him, you are touching a miracle. But it's an entirely different thing to experience a miracle yourself. You see, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, Isaiah 40, verse 28, it says that there's a difference between hearing and knowing. We've had testimonies, all manners of testimonies here. But when are you going to be the testimony? I believe it is. Now, see, in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, when John the Beloved was writing, he was talking about, he said, that which was from the beginning. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we've heard about him. We've seen him. We have looked upon him. But our hands have handled him. We've experienced the miracle. My father in the Lord told me a story that when, at the beginning of the ministry of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, when things were hard, God performed a special miracle for him. He told him, they've just managed to get enough money to prepare a pot of soup. He told him, tell your wife, from today onward, let her begin to dish from the pot without looking inside. So, Papa told Mama, today Mama will dish and it will be fish. Tomorrow, she will dish. It will be chicken. Another time, she will dish. It will be beef. For days on end. Until one day, blessed woman was overcome by curiosity. And she looked. And the pot was empty. Now, I heard that testimony. It shook me. But I had an experience. I traveled to the East to go and preach when I was here, a lecturer at the University of Lagos. And I would travel at weekend to preach. I'd be back by Sunday night so I can be back in the office by Monday morning. When I was returning, I got to Onitsha. I wanted to refuel. There was no fuel there. Oh, I said, well, I will get fuel in Asaba. I got to Asaba. No fuel. Ah, well, definitely there will be fuel in Benin. I mean, in Ore. There's a depot there. First of all, Benin, no fuel. Ore, no fuel. By now, the gauge of my car was reading reserve. Almighty God, what am I going to do? And God spoke. And God will speak to somebody here today. And said, son, take your eyes off the gauge and drive up. Thank you, Lord. So I began to drive from Ore to Surulere. When I parked my car, then I looked at the gauge. And it read empty. In the name of the one who called me, in the name of the one who commissioned your bishop, from now on, you will be experiencing miracles. And then we go move on quickly to Exodus chapter 4, verse 20. After Moses saw a miracle, touched a miracle, experienced a miracle, the Bible said he now decided to go back to Egypt. And he took the rod of God with him. First of all, it means you are not going to leave here empty-handed. But number two, it means he carried a miracle with him. Because that rod, which was the rod of Moses, has become the rod of God. And with that rod, he performed all manners of miracles, changing water to blood, opening Red Sea, etc., etc. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 2, from verse 9 to 15, 2 Kings chapter 2, 9 to 15, the Bible tells us about the time when Elijah disappeared. And before he disappeared, he asked Elisha, "What do you want?" You know the story. Elisha said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." He said, "If you see me, before I be taken away from you, it will be so unto you." Anyway, he saw him. And as he was leaving, he dropped the mantle. The boy picked up the mantle, got to Jordan. I said, "I know what my daddy did to cross the sea. To cross Jordan." So he rolled his mantle, smote Jordan again, and Jordan opened. And as long as he carried that mantle with him, all manners of miracles and signs and wonders were happening. There's something special that the Almighty God will want me to do for you today. And I will tell you a story before I do it. You know, I saw someone is going to go home with a gift. We were at the Holy Ghost service. And then a woman got a phone call. Your daughter, and the daughter was pregnant, had been taken to Luth. She gave birth to a set of twins. But we are sorry to tell you, the twins are dead, and your daughter is dead too. Oh. She said, "The devil is lying. And concerning any of you, the plan of the enemy is a lie." So he said, he told her, "Keep them for me. Don't let them take them anywhere. I'm on my way." Go to the hospital. And I think whether it was at the Holy Ghost Congress or something before that, I had blessed the handkerchiefs of the people who came and the oil and so on. So they showed him these twins. He dropped some oil in the mouth of the first one, some oil in the mouth of the second, and said to them, "Don't waste my time, come back." Within seconds, the first one sneezed and came back to life. So she turned to the second one and said, "What are you waiting for? Hurry now." And that one came back to life too. Now there was pandemonium in the hospital. And at that time, they were now wheeling the corpse of the mother to take to the mortuary. And she said, "Wait a minute." She took the oil, poured it in the mouth of the mother, took the handkerchief and laid it on her head. I said, "What's wrong with you? Who is going to take care of your children? Come back here, my friend." You see, when she was sharing the testimony at Redemption Camp, I told the people present, I said, I'm the father. I'm the one who anointed the handkerchief and the oil. I've not raised 3 dead in a day. But my prayer had always been that my children will be greater than I. I want you to stand on your feet and lift up your handkerchief. If you have no handkerchief, just lift up anything that is a piece of cloth. I am going to pray in the spirit for just 1 minute. And as soon as I finish, well, we will see what we will see. My Father and my God, you know this is a very special day. This is a day of joy unspeakable for me. And all I want as my own special gift, Lord, is that every piece of cloth lifted up to you now be saturated with your anointing. When they lay these handkerchiefs on the dead, let the dead rise. Whether the dead is a human being or a project, anything they lay this handkerchief on, let it rise again. Daddy, cover the anointing that has gone in with the blood of Jesus. Let the anointing be permanent. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Lay it on your own head and say, in the mighty name of Jesus, from now on, I will be a testimony. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm running out of time. But just in closing, Moses woke up that morning a fugitive. Before the day was over, according to Exodus chapter 7 verse 1, Exodus 7 verse 1, he has become a god to Pharaoh. He was a fugitive. He was running from Pharaoh. That's the situation when he woke up in the morning. By the time he went to bed, he has become a terror to the one who had been terrorizing him. From now on, when the enemy see you coming, they will run. It takes God minutes to change a man's life permanently. I can still remember something that happened early in 1981. I woke up as ordinary Pastor Adeboye. But then there was a service like this. And at the end of the service, they led me to a chair. The chair my father in the Lord used to sit on. And now, sir, you are our general overseer. This is your chair. I sat on that chair. It's as if electric current from heaven flowed. I know very well that it was not the one who sat down that got up. seconds, and things had never been the same again. From now on, things will never be the same again in your life. I cannot close this service without giving somebody an opportunity to give his or her life to Jesus. You see, because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You want everything to become new in your life? Permanently, you must give your life to Jesus. That is the only way. So, I know there is not enough room here to ask you to come forward. But if you are in the congregation and you have not really given your life to Jesus Christ, you know, you could deceive man, you can't deceive God. I will want you to please stand up very quickly. My time is gone. If you have not given your life to Jesus, stand on your feet very, very quickly. And at least those of you who are inside, I know those of you who are outside, they would have made an arrangement for you by the altar. But if there's anyone here and you now really, really want to give your life to Jesus Christ, run forward now. Because I'm going to count from 1 to 5. Before I say 5, you must come and surrender your life to the one who can change you and change you permanently. You must come and give your life to the Savior. Come. 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 I'm counting now. 1. Yes. Thank you, Father. Come. 2. Is the Lord you are coming to? Is the Savior? Is the one who can change you completely? Is the unchangeable changer? Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Hurry up. And those of you who are clapping, your hands will never wither. Keep clapping for them. 3. Come. 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 Thank you, Father. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Daddy. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Yes, keep coming. I will wait another 30 seconds. Keep coming. Keep coming. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes. Thank you, Father. Amen. Now, those of you who have come and those of you who are on the way, just cry to Jesus. Just in your own language and say, Lord, just have mercy on me. Save my soul. Wash me clean in your blood. Give me a brand new beginning, Lord, and I will serve you for the rest of my life. And the rest of us who are sure of our salvation, let's stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them. I say, Lord, give them genuine salvation. Forgive all their sins, Lord. Save their souls. Give them a brand new beginning. Go ahead, intercede for them. Intercede for them. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. My Father, my God, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your word. And thank you for these people that have come forward to surrender their life to you. Please, Lord, receive them.
Amen.
Save their souls.
Amen.
Let your blood wash them clean.
Amen.
Write their names in the book of life.
Amen.
Let them become members of the family of God.
Amen.
From now on, anytime they call on you, answer them by fire. And let everything become new for them. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Now, those of you who have come forward, let me hear you shout hallelujah. God bless you. The counselors will attend to you. I'm sure the bishop will take over from there on. And I will be hearing good news concerning you. Congratulations, congratulations, congratulations. Counselors, where do you want them to go? All right, anyway, you know what to do, counselors. God bless you. Now, finally, before I retire, we want to humbly invite the bishop. I mean, when the pastor is talking to a bishop, and his family, Mama, the children, please come. Accord. If you don't mind. Now, will you all please stretch your hands towards this family and just wish them whatever you wish yourself. If you want a brand new beginning of success, of glory, of joy, of promotion, please pray for them. Pray for them. They've been praying for you, interceding for you for all these years. Now it's your turn. Pray for them. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Almighty. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
So, my Father, my God, I want to thank you on this 40th anniversary. All I'm asking for this family, is a new beginning.
Amen.
A new beginning of joy.
Amen.
Of peace. Of divine health,
Amen.
Of success,
Amen.
Of progress,
Amen.
Of glory.
Amen.
Daddy, I want you to move this family from glory to glory.
Amen.
The kind of miracles the world had never heard of before, through this commission, begin to bring them to pass. Lay your mighty hands on your son again.
Amen.
Pour fresh oil on him.
Amen.
Lay your mighty hands on the wife.
Amen.
Pour fresh oil on her.
Amen.
Lay your mighty hands on the children.
Amen.
Pour fresh oil on them. Lay your mighty hands on each of them. Pour fresh oil on them. Lay your mighty hands on the grandchildren. Pour fresh oil on them. My Father, my God, build a mighty wall of fire round about them. Anyone who attempts to harm them, you, the great consuming fire, consume such enemies. And through them, my Father and my God, let fresh anointing flow to all the ministers. Through them, let mighty miracles flow to all the members. Thank you, my Father and my God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah.